I went. We waited 10 million years to meet each other. So here we go.
Hello, Keith.
Hi there.
Hello, Keith.
Hello, hello.
Jordan, home.
I feel welcome.
Home.
Can't wait for next Christmas.
Good luck.
The pleasure starts.
It might never get here for me. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? You know, who knows? It's never even here, you know? Who knows?
I guess, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Imagine what the reality of Christmas is, whatever that movement that caused that whole spirit for an idea to pop up. Imagine what that is in reality. You know, like imagine what we are in reality. Oh man, you don't come back from that, you know, and you don't miss this at all. Oh my God, you know, you don't miss this. You know what I'm saying? So whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just
another day.
Still looking forward to the day that I get the conviction, but you know, it's like that's my issue.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I never try to discuss with you guys, but I would never. One thing that psychedelics has taught me is how to be egotistic, and the things I have, the DMT and the psilocybin, they've helped me increase that conviction here. You know, increase the conviction that I'm not this body, that this is a dream. I've actually come to a realization that the more I believe this is a dream, the more I know this is a dream, my DMT experience has become much more static, much more without movement, nirguna, you know, no mind. And and I think if you focus your conviction, if you work on that conviction, that devotion, light that candle every day, do your mantra 24 hours a day. When it doesn't pop up, try to catch it. If you don't work on that conviction, the end, the final dissolve is going to be complicated, you know, whether it's a concept or not, you know, that concept is going to grab you, you know. So that's what we're doing here. We're working on that conviction, you know, and the psychedelics, the ice baths, those things help me believe that I'm not that body, because it comes to a point where the cold doesn't affect you. And you're like, okay, oh yeah, okay. I'm literally not this body. This is not just an intellectual console, you know, something to make me feel good. This is reality. You know, this is the illusion. This talker and this listener right now, this is the illusion, you know? We're just the fortunate, you know, that come together, you know?
Yeah, I do have interest in the psychedelics because I used to do them.
Yeah, I understand. I've heard you. I've heard you say it. Yeah. I've heard you say it, but, you know, and I try not to get involved in anybody's psychedelic because I believe they come to the just. I believe they come to the purest. But you should look at it differently now, because if you've done it in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, it was all mixed with something else. And now your lifestyle is different, and psychedelics adjust, especially DMT. You know, it's what we're talking about. It's this this nameless, this indescribable, this no mind, no Vaikuntha, no words, you know, the non-knowing, you know, and all this is the knowing. And we're going to go to this non-knowing. I mean, we're trying not to be reborn again, you know? So we go straight to this non-knowing where I've heard you talk about this bliss, but I've never understood bliss until you know, I had a DMT non-experience, you know. I've never felt bliss in a body-mind complex. And if you have, man, you should, you know, you shouldn't worry about your conviction, because you're probably very holy if you found bliss in this body. All I found is pain and suffering, you know. And if you've been able to do that, my Lord, you know, psychedelics are calling you, you know.
Well, I'm finding I don't need the psychedelics to get me to the same place that I used to depend on the psychedelics to get me.
Okay.
I'm getting the bliss and which is what I consider very similar experiences to psychedelic LSD and stuff. Without that, I just go, you know, I go into that.
So where is the question of conviction then? I mean, you're telling me something that I could, you know, I could talk about my non-experiences. I do them once a month, and I could talk about it like I'm Shakespeare, like I'm the holiest of the holies, because that's all I can describe. And you're telling me you're doubting your conviction when you're having these moments without.
Well, the thing is, when I'm in that state of bliss or not, it's more like not knowing. I mean, I can't say.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Of course,
I have any indeed. Kind of intellectual conviction, but
yeah, that's incredible, man.
Conviction that I guess is gradually coming to me is
okay.
It's not conceptual. It's like it's a recognition of of presence, you know.
Indeed.
And then sooner or later, I will stop going back to reverting to thinking in terms of putting it, of trying to understand it in a conceptual way. And that is gradually coming. I can feel it coming. The states, every time I go into a bliss, it'll be like a week or two.
Okay.
And I'll go into, and it'll be much more deep, even deeper each time, and more, it changes in its qualities or something. Mm. And it keeps gradually getting deeper. And I can tell now, like today, I was, John talks about reading the reader in the book, and sometimes I get that feeling and I recognize it, but today it was, for some reason, it was becoming more clear what Nisargadatta, a couple pages, I could really perceive what he was trying to communicate. And whereas, you know, more so than other, maybe not more so, but it seems like it's gradually becoming more, I'm able to understand, you know, perceive exactly what he's saying.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious when you're in those moments. I don't know if you hold your breath. I know my forms have always been very, there has to be something there for me. I've always been a skeptic. So the ice baths was something for me to do. The psychedelics, the plants are something for me to commit yoga with and come together with. I needed something. And if you're, the breath holds, you know, I hold my breath. And if you're finding a way to live these moments, I don't think the question of conviction should ever rise, because you realize that the intellect is not there at all at those moments, those beautiful moments, you know? So like they say, in order to analyze the absolute, consciousness has to get into the body again. And right there, you're only allowed to start trying to describe this. Yeah, we're having fun. We're, you know, but if you're in this bliss, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation. It's like asking someone to tell them how their deep sleep is going. You know, they're not going to be able to wake up out of the blue and tell you, oh, yeah, I'm in deep sleep. No, that's a lie. You have to tell me after you wake up, after you're in another state, you know, so. And psychedelic experiences are like that for me. So it's been able to tie me to that invisible thing very easily into no more. It's not a question anymore of conviction. That's what I am. I see this as a dream. And I think that's what you do, you know, in order to reach those moments, man. Yeah, fantastic, man. You know, fantastic.
It's becoming more of like a background that I recognize.
Oh, nice.
That's the truth kind of, I mean, it's a feeling kind of, you know, it's not an intellectual feeling or recognition of some sort, or it's not even that. It's like, it's just there.
I think it comes, that feeling that you're trying to use words, it comes the minute after you've experienced that beautiful thing. You know, so everything's in the past. Even now, this conversation, even now, you know what I'm saying? Everything is in the past already. So that beautiful, that thing is uncatchable. It's like trying to catch the now. One thing I've learned with this thing is even the present is the past. You know, there's something behind this, and that's what we're looking for. You know, that thing behind the time, you know? And of course, when you come back and you want to describe it, you know? And,
That was one of the things that hit me today. I just happened to open up. I was reading this part of I Am That. And Nisargadatta says in this paragraph, let me see if I could, it's right here in front of me.
What a monster, yeah. What a book. Man. About, what words.
Let's see. It's break the bonds of memory and self-identification, and the shell will break by itself. So indeed. What you're talking about is memory and the past.
Indeed.
Break recognition that there's, or break the idea that there's any reality to memory and thought, or, you know, any identification. Once that starts to, then you realize that memory really isn't telling you anything about reality or something.
No, of course not. It's actually covering. It's the road that's being paved, that's paving over this waking dream. You know, we're all sharing this one thing that we ignore, just the waking dream. You know, and we're using our thoughts to pave over this reality that you and me have figured out. You know, that you. And that memory is that. And memory is that pavement. It's that raw material, you know, that we use.
He says something to that effect also in this page. 299 and 300, you know, just what you're saying. It's like the mind is like making something out of nothing or whatever.
Indeed. Yeah, but what do you do now? You know, what do you do now? We've paved the road. You know, we've paved the road. We've planted trees. We've gotten children. We've been children. We've played all those concepts. And what do? You know, you just observe. You can't go to the Himalayas. You know, I have my life partner. I have my two dogs that came along with this imagination. And all right, we're gonna ride it till the wheels fall off. You know, we're gonna ride it until we're in the literal cave. You know.
In fact, then he said another thing. What you just said about imagination. He says here something about imagination. He says, the guy asked him, but why did the body consciousness come into being? And the Nisargadatta says, but don't ask why, ask how. It is the nature of creative imagination to identify itself with its creations. You can stop it at any moment by switching off attention or through investigation.
Oh, indeed.
And that, you know.
Indeed.
Yeah, you know, all these things that we think are real, we give them reality with our.
Indeed.
Because of our consciousness is interested in its own creations, sort of.
Yeah, indeed. That's why he mentions to be dispassionate, be passionate, but dispassionate. You know, be passionate about being dispassionate about this dream. Just observe everything, but not let anything affect you. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, well, man, you know.
You know, it's 7:30 and there's no John.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
See if John has any.
I heard him.
To what we're saying.
You heard John?
I'm here.
I think I heard him though. Yeah, there he is.
I've been here since 7:15. They're all just chattering away, and I'm just sitting.
Oh, you were here.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good.
Oh, man.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good. God. Whatever.
Well, you didn't show up on the screen, at least my screen.
Oh. This is supposed to be a grand opening, a grand entrance.
I don't know. The screen must be weird.
I was expecting smoke and stuff.
No, Alan, you have a hand up. You're raising a hand. What is?
Yeah, it was about. I was not comfortable to have. Person have conversation and we are all waiting. I was a little bit uncomfortable with that. And at the same time, Trish, there's no John there. would like
to come back
all together. I know you're there. You were just waiting and checking.
I'm just sitting and everybody's chattering and it's all good. We've been recording since 7:15, so there will be a recording of all this stuff and I'm just here.
Yeah, but we really came to listen to you, not to listen to, you know, people in the group talking to each other.
It's more personal.
Okay. Yeah, I was just here. I mean, there was nothing to speak. Like there was there's just listening and some, you know, there's.
We're all just sharing our experience.
Yeah, that's fine. It is what it is. I mean, the truth is, once you realize yourself in a real sense, then nothing is. But that nothing, the concentrating on nothing will unravel and bring the understanding, like, okay, formlessness. Everything that's seen is in this formlessness, and you remain with presence. And it's so deep because then there's the understanding that presence and this so-called form-based existence can never be, these are appearances within that. There can never be like a separate, like, okay, now I'm in the formlessness and then there's the form-based and now I'm doing this. I just remain with my selfless self. And it's like, consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence, concentrating on the concentrator. All the objects are arising, including this object, this body, which I am not, because you can just sit and look, especially now that my apartment is on the 10th floor. I can look out the window and just see sky. And then the understanding is that the sky, that formless, more subtle than sky, all of this is appearing inside of that, and that you are. So there's no conviction of like, oh, I don't know that I'm this. There's only this. Like, you sit, and just even now, like I heard Keith speaking about, that, oh, I get that bliss. Well, that bliss is your own self kind of filtered through this body because you can know yourself in a real sense. That you are presence. That's it. There is nothing else. Everything else is just objects appearing in that formlessness, including even if you were an astronaut outside of the world, looking at the world, you could say, okay, even this experience is within that presence. That presence is everywhere. So, you know, they're launching this telescope out to go and see the whole universe and like it's this vast thing. Well, no, it's just an appearance within the presence. Everything is appearing. And subtly, this presence is able to experience what it seems to be inside. Again, the dream is the same. You lay down at night, dream is formless, boom. All the dream form, the form people walking around, the form, everything. It's the same. When you know yourself in a real sense, then there's no having to separate yourself or say, oh, I can't get involved in the world. Because it doesn't make sense. How can you get involved in the world unless, of course, you pretend to have a limited identification within the dream and you say, I'm this little character and I'm seeing the world. And it will appear that there's a world. I mean, there's objects. Right now, I can look outside. I see cars moving around. But if I remain with myself, with self, that just I, that subtle, I know that these are appearances in that formlessness. They're just appearances. They're just, and that presence can never be affected by anything that's occurring within it. Just as in your dream, no one can come out of your dream and sneak through your consciousness and murder you. You know, like none of those people can be in this dream world and say, aha, I'm going to find the dreamer and I'm going to catch him. No. How? It's the same here. And everything else. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says about everything is false. There's nothing true, nothing false, because nothing is. And every time we believe that something is, it's because we've limited ourselves to this body-based existence. And we're saying, I'm just this body. Oh no, what happens to me now? What happens to me? There's no me. There's no I. I was known and came along with a body. I exist. I am. But there is no I. No he, she, it. All those are all those came along with the body. Just as Maharaj says, maybe all experience, all relations came along with the body. Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
Maybe that's why you never really die in your dreams. You know, you can dream like you're gonna die, and then you wake up. Because what our idea of fear of death is based on nothing real.
Well, there's no birth, no death. Yeah. However, if you believe yourself to be born, then you're going to believe that you can die. Of course, that's just the natural thing. What is born will die.
If you're having a dream that you're going to die, usually you don't actually die. You wake up.
But you don't die in this dream. We use the dream as an example only because it's the same presence and the same projections. There's a concept that I'm a body in a waking dream world, and then I'm a body in a dream world. But reality is you're formless, and these forms are being created spontaneously within both, within your own self. There's no separation. If you light a fire in the space isn't affected. The air in the room is affected because that's also within the space. So you can say, oh, if you light a fire in the room, it pulls oxygen from the room. But the space is more subtle than the oxygen. Because you can have space without oxygen. You can have space without air. Of course, because that's how you get like decompression and all that kind of stuff when you're deep sea diving and all those things. But the space is more subtle. And this is you. Your presence is so, so subtle. And through body form, you can sense this just I.
John.
Yes.
On that, like when we talk about just I, like I can detect that and just sense like immediately what you're pointing at or what you're saying. But beyond that, like this is hard to phrase into a question, but like where I go kind of is like what something's observing that, right? Like even that, like just I consciousness, like that. Awareness, unaware of itself, kind of like that before I was born, after I die, you know.
Only because awareness is aware of objects now that these objects are appearing within its own self. And there's the concept of separation. Oh, look at these things. Awareness is there, but nothing to be aware of. Through body form, I can see other objects and become aware. Then awareness is aware of itself and other things. when awareness has no awareness of itself, then there's just awareness.
No questions.
And no questions because there's no appearance of anything within it because there is no awareness of awareness. And you can sit there and know this just I, this very, very subtle sense of presence, and understand that that is absolutely what everything is appearing within. And the only reason you're aware of this awareness is because this body form has the concept of, look at these things to be aware of. I exist, therefore I am. There is the world. But there is no reality in the objects that are appearing. And one specific object going or going away makes no difference at all. Just the limited conceptual idea of I am something. Instead of the totality, you're suddenly focused in on this one thing as me. And now I want me to survive because I know me. And now as I'm on this spiritual journey, I become aware of awareness and I say, oh, that's very nice. This is what I am. Well, yes, but this awareness of awareness, you can continue to go, well, I'm the one that's aware of this awareness of awareness. But the only reason that I'm aware is because of the concept of duality. I am aware. And once I'm aware, just as in the dream world, as soon as consciousness mixes, boom, the dream world is projected. I am aware. And I see things. And even now that I know myself as formless, I still see things because I am aware. This is the key. Just this subtle, subtle, subtle sense of presence in which, on which, whatever you want to call it, through which the entire world is appearing. Presence is not changed. It's not added to or subtracted from with the entire world. Even if the whole world blew up, presence would be completely unaffected. It's the most subtle. And without presence, then none of this could be because there would be nothing. Like this is the something that appears within the nothing. And it only appears for a time in this knowingness, I exist. And you look around, you say, okay, so every object is an appearance within my own self, including this object in which I'm observing the appearance of these objects.
It's almost funny, but it could be considered sad that the mind tricks itself, goes on tricking itself into believing that it's the experiences or things or other beings or whatever we can think of that is actually has the qualities of value or what is important. The mind somehow ends up believing its own ideas of what is good and bad.
Again, mind came along with the body, you're not body. Every projection that the mind can serve to you, it's like you're sitting in a movie theater and these projections are going on the screen, and everything that can serve to you can only be about the body-based existence. And once you've, the conviction of I am not body is simply the sense of presence is arising and the presence is remaining with presence, concentration on the concentrator. It just dawns on you, oh, so that I am that. And now the mind is just going to talk about or project images on the screen about the form-based reality that you used to believe was reality. And now you know yourself in a real sense. So you're going to just, even if you're in the theater, you're going to be remaining with your own self. Allow whatever comes on the screen to come on the screen, but there's no interest. You're not going to try to get involved. Why? And eventually, you know, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, when the mind has no customers, it stops. And it does, because there's nothing you need to say about the illusion. You're just remaining with your own selfless self. And you literally are just here. And the more you remain with your own selfless self, that the concentration on the concentrator, awareness with awareness, whatever you want to call it, just that this and remaining. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, I spent every moment with the I am. And not I am, just this subtle presence. Pay all your attention. While in this body form, you can sense yourself. Okay. And now it's known. My God, this sense of, this is so subtle that there's no way it can be affected by this world. And now, not only can it not be affected, but you start to really see this, that this world is an appearance.
So, yeah, in the pages 299, 300, 301, Nisargadatta referred to the guy asked him, he was mentioning that, or the guy was talking to Nisargadatta. He was mentioning to Nisargadatta that sometimes he would feel really sublime, spiritual, and other times he just like me, I'd go back and forth to these different states. And Nisargadatta said that it's because you don't listen to your guru and do practice what he's telling you. And what he's telling you is just what you're telling us, is to remain. I keep letting myself, like, I'll go from a news story to watch a TV and then go out and do something. And I take some time, I probably more than maybe others, to try to just rest in refreshing the memory of my, of just being there. I forget the term you used just now, but yeah, I don't do that enough. I'm not obeying the master. I'm not sitting with that enough.
This is the guru. Yeah. Turn yourself over to this guru. This presence, this sense of existence, as you say, you're sometimes with it, whatever. This is the same that manifested in the form of Maharaj and said, remain with yourself as self. Because, and you can be, I watch TV. I'm really into this series, Power, and then Ghost, Book 2. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. But it is, again, just appearances on a screen. And I can sit and I can enjoy it and I can be along with it, but I'm not leaving myself. Do you cease being Keith when you go outside of your house and all of a sudden the world is like here? No, that's what Maharaj says. You don't have to keep reminding yourself, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. It's just a known thing. Okay, I am formless. I am my own self. And all of this is myself. And that is not even exactly true because there is no all of that. There's just myself. And everything else is this appearance. I don't have to keep saying that to myself. I know this.
Would this be a appropriate analogy? You keep that refreshing your memory. It occurred to me while I was reading the Sarvagadatta today that, and you're talking about that, it occurred to me that that is like keeping the hard drive clear of any activity. It's like it's keeping an open, clear hard drive, without any anything else other than the clear.
Refreshing your memory is just to drop back into yourself whenever you appear to be outside of yourself doing something. Like something seems very important. Oh my God, this thing is happening in my life. What to do? What to do? Well, what to do is remain with myself as self. Refresh my memory. I'm formless. Okay, now I can take care of this activity in this form-based existence because I know I'm formless. So I'm not going to be so much